you this morning to take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to be covering just one verse this morning, verse 18. So Matthew 28:18, and so you can turn there this morning. My son mentioned to me that when I say where to turn, I start talking and don't give him time to turn to it. So I'll give you a little bit of time to turn to it, and I'm sure you'll be thankful too. Matthew 28, verse 18, and we are in the midst of multiple weeks of looking at the Great Commission. And so this is the second week, and I plan on doing a couple more at least. But last week, we looked at who Jesus uses, who Jesus calls and to use in his mission in the world. And we found out it's not perfect people, it's imperfect disciples, it's us, it's people who are full of messy past and present struggles and flawed futures, and yet he wants to use us in his grand mission in the world. And now we're going to be looking at the basis of the Great Commission, and it's the authority of Jesus. And so we're going to be zeroing in on Matthew 28, verse 18. But let's read verses 18 to 20 just to kind of get the whole commission on our minds. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's a story told by Frank Cook in the magazine of the Naval Institute, and he talks about and says, two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on the watch as on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye out on all activities. And shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported, "Light bearing on the starboard bow. Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. And so the captain called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send, I'm a captain, change course 20 degrees. "I'm a seaman, second class," came the reply. "You had better change course 20 degrees. By that time, the captain was furious, and so he spat out, I'm a battleship, change course 20 degrees. But back came the flashing light, "I'm a lighthouse." And so needless to say, they had to change course because they were talking to a lighthouse. And so many times in life, there is this battle over who has the higher authority. But this morning, we're going to learn about who has the highest authority, and it's He who calls us to this all-important mission, Jesus Christ. And so as you think about this verse 18, it's helpful, of course, as we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew, you have to keep in context all that you have learned about Jesus. And so as we know about Jesus and Matthew, and of course the other Gospels, but Jesus had a unique birth, right? He was born of a virgin, and God made some amazing declarations about who he would be. He would save his people from their sin. Right? He would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was even seen as to be the King of the Jews. You think about the wise men, and they come searching for the King of the Jews. And why does Herod want to kill him? Because he was considered the King of the Jews. God called him his beloved son at his baptism. Remember that? And then Jesus showed his identity by his perfect resistance to Satan's temptations, his amazing miracles, his authoritative teachings, his sinless life. But as we know in the gospel, not everyone liked Jesus. Not everyone followed Jesus. The religious leaders especially were antagonistic in opposition to him. They couldn't stand him. They seemed to oppose him at every turn. And eventually Jesus was put to death. But as we know, it was all according to God's plan. He died to save sinners and then astoundingly rose again 3 days later, being vindicated, showing that all that he said about himself and what was said about him was true by God. After all that, right, now he stands in front of his disciples as the risen Christ, the great risen Christ, who would soon, as we know in the other Gospels, ascend into heaven. But before he ascends, he gives this great commission. And so what we are studying this morning is the foundation that Jesus gives for this commission. And he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." I want you to just think about that statement. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What a statement. Because sometimes we become so accustomed to these Bible verses that we know so well, and we should know them well, that we just kind of read them over without actually thinking deeply. Wow, what is the significant? What does this really, really mean? And really, this verse is showing us, number one, Christ has all authority over everything. That's what he's saying. Christ has all authority over everything. I want you to think about what Jesus says here. He said that he has authority. But not only that, he has all authority. And not only that, he says all authority in heaven and earth. I mean, think about that. All authority in heaven and earth. So let's start with the basics, authority. You think about authority is to have a superior position and certain rights that come along with that, certain powers to do certain things. And so if I said that I have authority over my toolbox, right, I'd be saying I have a certain position. I am the ruler of my toolbox. Now, being the ruler of my toolbox, it means I have certain rights in regards to my toolbox. I can discard old tools. I can buy new ones. I can let people borrow the ones I have. I can use them in ways that I see fit. And so not only do I have the right to sort of oversee and determine how those tools are used, but I have the power to function in that authority. So if someone comes and asks to borrow a tool, I have the power to say, yes, you can borrow that tool, or you can have that tool, whatever it may be. And so think of authority here, and I think we all know this, is to have a position and the rights and the power that come along with that position. And so Jesus is saying that he has authority. He is a ruler. He has a higher position. He has the power at that position. He has the rights that all come along with that position. Now, sometimes you can have authority, but get this, sometimes it is limited authority, right? You can have authority, but sometimes it's limited. For a time, I worked at a community college, and I was the one who oversaw and I led the custodians of the community college. And so I had some authority in that role, but with my role is it was limited, right? And so I could do certain things. I had authority to do certain things, try to resolve disputes and instruct people where to go and how to do things and what to do and things like that. But my authority was limited because I couldn't just do anything. I couldn't hire or fire, you know, employees or things like that. I didn't have all authority over the custodians. And yet Jesus is saying he has all authority. His authority is not limited. It is absolute. And so Jesus doesn't even have to say, oh, I don't have authority over that. Or, oh, let me go ask someone else who, you know, is over those things. No, he has all authority. And with that, notice the realms that he's over. Think about my previous illustration with being over the custodians. And so I had a certain authority over the custodians, but I didn't have authority over other realms. Meaning I didn't have any authority over the maintenance crew or the teachers or the secretaries or the administrators, right? But look at the realms that Jesus is over, heaven and earth. What else is left out? Nothing is left out. He's over everything. There's a story when Christian Herter was governor of Massachusetts. He was running hard for a second term in office, and one day after a busy morning chasing votes and no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. And so it was late afternoon, and he was famished. And so he moved down the serving line, and he held out his plate to the woman who was serving the chicken. And so she put a piece of chicken on his plate and turned to the next person in line. "Excuse me," Governor Herter said, "do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman told him, "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person." "But I'm starved," said the governor. "Sorry," the woman said, "only one to a customer." So Governor Herter, he was a modest and unassuming man, but he decided this time he's going to throw his weight around a little bit. "Do you know who I am?" he said. "I am the governor of this state." "Do you know who I am?" the woman said. "I'm the lady in charge of the chicken." And she says, "Move along, mister." You see, that governor had authority, but his authority wasn't over everything. It certainly wasn't over the chicken. And so likewise, it matters the extent that your authority goes, the realms that your authority is over. And so just because you may be a boss in one company doesn't mean you can walk into any company and start bossing people around, right? People would think you're crazy. Like, what are you doing? Because your authority doesn't extend there. And for Jesus, his authority extends over everything, heaven and earth. And so to have authority over earth, that is astounding. But even to say he has authority over heaven, now that is implying divine status, isn't it? It's saying he's Lord of heaven and earth. And you think about throughout the Bible, that title is attributed to God the Father. And so it's showing that he also is truly God. So as you think about what he says here, he's showing us that he's not over some little region and that's it. Okay, this little spot over here, Jesus is over, but nothing else. He's not over just a small group of people. He's not over even only the church. He's over heaven and earth. He rules as far as you could possibly travel in a lifetime and miles beyond it. He rules over every single place that you can and cannot see, over every single thing that you don't even know about. Look around you. He is over that. Search high and low. You won't find anything outside of his domain. He is ruler, Lord, and King of the universe, as well as the unseen spirit realm as well. I find that many people, they view Jesus as sort of this weak and timid and powerless guy, but as the risen Christ, he is showing us that he is Lord, who everyone must bow down to. Other people think, oh, he's over those religious areas, right? And that's it, right? Like they act like he has no say in anything outside of church. Or some people think that he has authority only over this small snippet of my life, this small area he can have, but everything else I rule over. But listen up. If Jesus has all authority over heaven and earth, then that means what? He has all authority over government, politics, and policies. If he has all authority over heaven and earth, what does that mean? He has authority over how you act at your workplace, over your possessions, over your time and your money and your priorities. There is nothing outside of the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. He has all authority over all plants and animals, weather and diseases and objects. He has all authority over demons and angels and world leaders and governing bodies, over every individual and family and town and state and region and nation and world. Nothing is outside of it. He's over our bodies. He's over every single soul who lives or whoever will live. You cannot escape his domain. By going into outer space, he rules there. Not even the unseen realm is unseen to him, because he sees it and rules there too. Everyone and everything is under him and is accountable to him, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that means he has the right to do with it however and whatever he wants to do. This is Jesus Christ. This is what he is saying of himself. And so we should not act like Jesus is sort of this timid pushover you can accept or reject depending on what you feel like and with no consequences, and do not act like his rule is optional and there's just no consequences for rejecting this king, because there are eternal consequences. And he's saying all of this authority was given by God the Father. That is a lofty claim. That is a lofty claim. The Father has given him. After his resurrection, we see Jesus, and he's no longer sort of this weak, suffering servant, but he becomes and takes on this triumphant, authoritative one who really he was in eternity past. His resurrection really is the vindication of all that he said, and what it does is, after the resurrection and through the resurrection, it publicly and powerfully displays and shows to the world, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the Christ. So God the Father has shown us and almost like just given his stamp of approval upon Christ, saying, yes, this is Lord. This is the Son of God. Daniel 7 says, dominion, glory, and the kingdom was given to him that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. This is shown throughout the Bible. Without a doubt, even other scriptures say God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. It also says he is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And so we must realize what Jesus is saying here is that even now, Jesus is ruler. Even now. That's what he's saying. All authority is given to me. Right? He doesn't say, hey, it's going to be given to me someday. It has been given to me. And so that means we should bow down and serve him and worship him and place everything under his lordship. But we also know, as we see in Scripture, that the world doesn't really see this ruling, right? In today's day, or even throughout, since he has been risen, the world doesn't really acknowledge his rulership, his lordship. Now, we do, of course, but the world hasn't seen it publicly, other than, of course, they should see it through the resurrection, but many deny it, but when he comes back again, that is when his authority and rule is fully displayed, is fully executed as he comes back, make all things right, and rules from his glorious throne. He has all authority over everything. I mean, just let that truth marinate in your mind and heart for a while. And the more you think about it, the more you dwell upon it, the more you are astounded and astonished by what he says. And so it is this one who is the all-authoritative one who sends us on a mission, right? And so he sends us on a mission by his authority. By his authority. Now, being Americans, we are not used to sovereign kings. I talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. We are not used to having sovereign kings because our nation isn't ruled by a sovereign king. Rather, we have elected representatives who are governed by the Constitution. That's the way it should work, of course. But for the time right now, we have to sort of transport ourselves back to a day and age where you had sort of this sovereign king. And he held ultimate authority in the land. So we're not used to that, but try to transport in your mind back to that time. And imagine that this king called you personally into his throne room to talk to him. And so you're walking in and you're amazed by this glorious throne room and his amazing throne and his kingly scepter and his kingly dress and everything. And it's an amazing sight to behold. And you're astonished that, wow, I get to walk in before the king and he's going to talk to me personally. And this is the high king of the land. And this is amazing. And now imagine that you're standing in front of this sovereign king, and he says to you, I am king over all the lands. I have authority over all of it. I rule over it. I show my power over it all. And in light of that power, in light of my sovereign authority, I have a task for you to do. I want you to think about, what are some emotions you would feel? Wouldn't you feel this utter privilege and honor that I get to do this special task for the sovereign king? Like, wouldn't you realize the utter importance and duty for you to do this task because the king commanded me to do it? Now, let's say that your task was to go out into the kingdom and you were to proclaim something that the people had to obey, something that the done in obedience to the king. Would you be lackadaisical about that? Would you go wondering if you had the right to do this? Would you go timidly? Would you go and tell the people, if you want to do this, it's fine? Would you say it that way? No way. The king has commanded you and tasked you to go under his authority to do this task. And so we must realize in an even greater way, the Lord of heaven and earth, who has authority over all, has commissioned us to a task. He's commissioned us to a task. And so I want us to think about, why do we act like this is optional? The sovereign king has commanded us to do this. Like, why do we act like we haven't been called by the one who is sovereign over all? Why are we not utterly astonished at this privilege to do it for him? Because it's true, we have been sent on a mission by the one who has authority over heaven and earth. And it matters who sends you to do something, doesn't it? And so that's why right after verse 18, he says, go therefore and make disciples, right? You think about that therefore. What is it therefore? It's because of the authority of Jesus. We are commanded in light of his authority, on the basis and foundation of his authority, we are commanded to go. And so let's think about some of the implications of this. So what are some of the implications of us being sent by the all-authoritative one to do a task? And first is, it means we have a big responsibility, don't we? If Jesus tells us to make disciples, it is not a suggestion. I want you to get in that brain. It is in your brain. It is not a suggestion. This Great Commission is not a great suggestion. It is a great commission. It is a command. It is an instruction that we are to follow. It is not optional, and we must realize that. His words here are imperatives. They are instructing. They are commanding us to go and make disciples. And so what that means is, if you ignore this command, what are you doing? You're disobeying the king. You're disobeying the king who has tasked us with this. And that is a big deal. I mean, he just said, I'm ruler of both heaven and earth, and we think we can just neglect what he said to do? Like, think about that. And so we must realize this is a big responsibility that we have. And so we don't take it lightly. We remember who sent us and who we serve. And so for some people, they think, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, and I don't have the gift of teaching or this or that gift. And then, they think, so it's okay if I don't make disciples. But that's not true. Jesus gave this command to all of his disciples. And so let me ask you this question to ponder in your heart. Do you think making disciples is my responsibility? Like, speaking of yourself, my responsibility. Is making disciples my responsibility? It is. Because Jesus has told us to do it. And I find that most modern day Christians don't think this way. Making disciples is my responsibility. Do we think that way? This is a prime command Jesus has given to us. It is sort of like the final command, at least in Matthew. The great commandment, commission that is. And so we don't think this way as modern day Christians, and I believe that's partly why the church is the way it is in America, because we have lost sight of seeing disciple-making as one of our primary responsibilities. And so we must each think, I am responsible for making disciples of Jesus Christ. I am. meaning yourself too. It's not just pastors, it's not just evangelists, it's not just the high up leaders, which they are too, of course, but it's not just them. And so our mission is utmost importance. You see, what we do here is not to just kind of go through the motions of religion. We don't just go through the motions just to say that we did it. We don't just come to church just to say, I checked it off my list, I can feel a little bit better about myself, and that's it. No, we serve someone. We follow someone. We proclaim someone. And we call others to follow, serve, and proclaim that person, Jesus Christ. And so as you think about, as a church, even as, of course, individual disciples as well, but as we gather, we are not here for just talking about our preferences. We are not here declaring our opinions or going through the motions. We are here to make disciples, and we dare not neglect it. And so we have a big responsibility, but also being sent on mission by the authority of Jesus means we have a big purpose. We have a big purpose. Because when you see Jesus' command to make disciples in light of his cosmic authority, it demonstrates, man, we have such big purpose. Right? Imagine thinking back to that king tasking you with that thing to do. You would think, wow, I have a big purpose. The king sent me, right? And that's the same idea, is Jesus has sent us with a big purpose, a big mission. We are involved in something bigger than ourselves. We are serving the sovereign Lord. And many Christians, they think, man, I have such a low calling, right? I have such a small purpose. Or even some think I'm purposeless. And they think, what I'm doing is just so small. It just feels so small. It feels minuscule. It feels menial. And they think, what difference does my life make in the world, they think. But when you think about it in light of this text, that when you think, man, the Lord of heaven and earth has called me to a task, it shatters those thoughts into a million pieces. And it replaces it with amazing purpose. I have purpose. I have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for me, but that's not all. I have been sent on, by him on a mission. What a privilege. What purpose. Personally sent and commissioned by the all-authoritative one. He's really showing us we are authorized ambassadors, authorized representatives, authorized workers and servants. We go in his name, sent by his command, under his authority, to spread his rule to the ends of the earth by making more and more disciples. One of the reasons why we may not be more mission-minded is that we neglect to remember that I have a big purpose in life. Like, I have been sent by Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, to make disciples for his glory. What greater purpose could you have? What greater purpose do we have than serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What greater purpose could we have than to give glory to the one who made us and who redeemed us and commissioned us? And so that means that even in your workplace, you may think that, oh, this doesn't really impact much. It's like, I'm doing this, I'm cleaning floors, I'm serving burgers, I'm counting money, and I'm taking phone calls, and it just feels so small. But when you think about it in light of eternity, in light of what Christ has commissioned you to do, you can think, man, I can make disciples even here, and I have a big purpose here in my workplace. You see how that changes your mind, your mindset, and your worldview as you think about even your job, as you think about raising kids, as you're a little kid, you think, man, this feels so small and menial, and I'm just changing diapers and cooking meals and doing this. But when you think, man, I am making disciples primarily of my kids, but also as I'm interacting with my neighbors, as I'm interacting with other homeschool moms or public school moms or whoever may be, or dads, that I am making disciples as I'm reaching out to them as well. It changes everything. And so do not believe the world when they try to say all these things about what we are, like, oh, they're bumbling bigots and this and that, and do not be influenced by how they think of us. We are ambassadors of the King of all. And it just changes everything. To be sent by the sovereign of the universe to call people to bow and follow him in faith. That's a big deal. That's a big purpose. To impact people's lives for eternity. Of course, under the authority and power of Jesus Christ. And so we see it is not optional. When we go to people and we share Christ, it is we don't say, oh, I don't want them to be upset. And we don't go to them and say, maybe if you would like to follow Jesus, that would be cool. But if not, I know we all have our own beliefs. No, it has been commanded by Jesus Christ, the sovereign Lord and King of the cosmos. And so we don't say, well, if you want to, we say, repent and be saved. That's what we say. That's what you find, especially in Acts. You find Peter said, repent and be saved. Save yourself from this crooked generation. He didn't say, if you guys want to come and follow Jesus, you know, feel free. If not, that's okay. We can move on. No. Look at how they preached. Do we proclaim Christ that way? Or are we kind of timid? Kind of passive? You see, being sent on mission means we have a big responsibility by Jesus Christ. We have a big purpose. But thirdly, we have big confidence. We can have big confidence. Because if Jesus, and since Jesus is over everything, it means we can openly and boldly declare Christ with clean consciences. That's what the apostles did in the book of Acts, don't they? Man, they just go out and they boldly, even though it meant they're going to be thrown into jail and beaten, they're rejoicing that they get to suffer for Christ, and they're just going and saying, hey, it doesn't matter what you guys think, we're going to follow God. And so they boldly declared Christ. How could we not be confident in the Lord? Because you think about the one who's overall has sent us. How could we not be confident? Because you think about the higher the rank a person that sends you, the more confident you go to do a task. So if you're walking on the street and someone off the street comes up to you and tells you, hey, if you go in that building over there, you're allowed to go in and grab any free thing or anything you want, and it's free. You can walk out. You may go, but you'd be kind of hesitant, like they might be misleading me. They probably, you know, want me to steal or something. But if, let's say, the owner of the building comes out to you and said, you can go into my building and grab anything you want out for free. Here, let me even give you something to prove that I sent you. You would go in confidence, right? Because the higher the rank someone is that sends you, the more confident you can go. And so we have a mission from Christ, and so there should be no lack of confidence in what we are called to do. And so we shouldn't lack confidence, right? And we should also mean that we should know that the mission will not fail, right? Jesus has backed this, has sent us, and his power is behind us. Why would we fret? He has called us to do things, and does God fail? God never fails. If he has called us to a task and he has a mission, he is going to accomplish that mission. So we can be confident. But so often we serve God in very unconfident ways, don't we? So unconfident ways. We fret that it's not going to work out in the end, and we fear how others will respond, and we kind of act like the task is optional or unimportant or not urgent, and we are apprehensive. We sometimes shrink back. We act too timidly and passively when it comes to talking about Christ to others. But really, we should have big confidence, because the highest authority has sent us on a mission. And so since the Lord of heaven and earth has commissioned us to make disciples, this also means, do you realize that you have the authority and the right to talk about Jesus in the world? You have the authority and the right to talk about Christ. One commentator said, whenever we speak of Christ, we are within our rights. There are times, sometimes, where people say, what gives you the right to try to convert people? I even heard of people, they get upset at missionaries because they say, what right do they have to go to another culture, tell people to believe in Jesus alone, and to forsake their gods or their culture? And the answer is, we have the right from Jesus Christ Himself. That's why. Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, says, I send you, you go. That means you have the right to do this. Now, just because we can have great confidence doesn't mean that we won't face, that doesn't mean that there will be no opposition, of course. Right? You think about before this, after the resurrection, you find the religious leaders, they're still opposing Christ and they're spreading lies about how the disciples stole the body and things like that. And then in the book of Acts, if you want to see this on full display, you see the book of Acts and there's tons of opposition. Especially as Paul goes out and he's beaten this town and stoned and every town seems like that he goes to, right? There was opposition. And yet Paul and the other apostles and other co-workers are boldly going and they're proclaiming Christ in these cities and towns. And so just because we can have confidence in our authorized mission doesn't mean that we won't face animosity. Yet amidst that, we can have confidence in the Lord, right? We can have confidence that I know He has called me to do this. I know His purposes will not ultimately fail, and I know it will be worth it in the end. Right? I know because Jesus has called me to do this. I know it will always be worth it. It will not fail, and I know that He calls me to do this. And so in summary, we see that we have been called to make disciples by the authority of Jesus Christ. What a statement, what a truth, for Jesus to say that all authority is His in heaven and on earth. And so now He's saying, now under and in and by His authority, He tells us to make disciples. And so the question, of course, is left, are you doing so? And if not, what is holding you back? He has sent you. We know this. He has sent you. Right? This command wasn't supposed to just stop at the disciples. It wouldn't make sense. Go and make disciples. Okay, they make the next generation. It's supposed to stop there. Okay, that's the end of Christianity. No, that's not the way it works. Disciples make disciples. It's supposed to be given, it is given to each of us as disciples. And so He has authorized you for you to go, but will you go boldly? And so as you think about just the greatness of Jesus, the greatness of His authority, the greatness of this mission, it always comes back to, who am I? Who am I? Who are we to be called by the Lord of heaven and earth to do such a big responsibility, such a big task, with such a big purpose and with such great confidence? Who are we that we get the privilege, that the honor, the responsibility to be sent and authorized by the Lord of all? Because we realize and reflect back, man, we were sinners and rebels of God, living in bondage to sin, alienated from God, but in grace. Because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, we have been forgiven and redeemed and saved, and now we're given purpose and a mission. And remember, man, it wasn't my works that saved me. My works couldn't save me, but by grace, through faith alone, we have trusted in Him, Savior and Lord. And so we see, man, I am not worthy. We are not worthy in ourselves to be called and commissioned to such a great task. Yet He chose to graciously save us. And He could have just said, I saved you, okay, that's enough, right? I'm done dealing with you, right? I saved you and that's it. But there's so much more, because He calls us children of God, and that's not it. But He says, I want to use you guys. And we learned about that last week, but I want to use you guys. and this big purpose in this world. And there's no one more worthy than Christ, who calls us and commissions us with a big responsibility, and yet we can go with big confidence in the Lord, knowing who sent us. And who sent us? The one who has authority, all authority, over heaven and earth. Let's pray. Dear Lord of heaven and earth, we thank you so much for your work in and through Christ in our lives. It's by grace you have saved us through his work and simple faith in him. And thank you so much for that that grace and mercy that you shed to us. Yeah, we also are thankful for the giving us just a great mission, a great big purpose. And yet even with that, a great responsibility to go and to make disciples. And I pray that we would be on mission here in the world as individual disciples, but also as a church, that we would keep this in mind as one of our primary tasks, ultimately for your glory, but our primary task is to make disciples. And we thank you for working in our lives and what you would do in and through us as we go and do this task, empowered by you and comforted by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.